I was just sitting kind of hesitating to see if anybody was going to get up and sing a song this morning. I didn't know, but good to be in the house of the Lord. Just Christmas carols this morning. I don't know. Everybody's working on getting in Christmas spirit. I'm pretty much there, about as much as I get to be. But a lot of things exciting took place around here. And I tell you, it's been an amazing time and amazing work. I thought about sitting here just a little while ago that probably sometime this week, probably our missionaries started opening their checks and support from this church, and I could just imagine, you know, them opening up the envelope and they're expecting this much, and when they opened it up, it doubled. Now you think about it. What if you opened your paycheck next week and it doubled? Amen. Rejoicing. I mean, exciting. Rejoicing. I don't know if everybody does that or not, but y'all know, Christmas, we always double up on our donations to our missionaries. And you just think about what that meant to some of them. Amen. I mean, you understand what that could mean to them, and an extra bonus. And guess what? It's because the generosity of this church. Because we see fit not just to receive, but to give. Generous. It's already been mentioned. I want to mention it again. We sponsored 38 children this year and some families that you bought Christmas for. That without your help and your generosity, some of these kids would have been with nothing. They'd have been without. But that's not the case. We took all we could find, went to the sheriff's department, got some more, and still have positions available if you know somebody else that needs help. And I know there's sometimes different thoughts in this, but I'm going to tell you, we gave it from the generosity of our hearts, and we gave it in good faith. And I believe we've made a difference at New Salem Baptist Church. Generosity. You know, we were kind of concerned on this year. You know, a little bit concerned. We kept getting children in and children in and children in. And as most of us know, if you'll listen to the government, they'll tell you the economy's good, but they lie. You know, it's not that good. But I guess the economy's good at New Salem Baptist Church. And the Lord blessed us because we raised more money this year than we'd ever raised. Collections we made raised $4,230. And we're still in the process of spending all of it. So I think it gives us something we can feel good about ourselves that we've accomplished. All the effort, the shopping, the wrapping, the distribution of these gifts, a lot going on in the church. But I don't know how to say it other than times like this, when you see the church really come through, makes me good to stand up here and say I'm a pastor. Makes me proud. And it should make you proud to be a member of the church and part of this work that's going on. It's been a good work take place. And I appreciate all of it. I want to look at the Word of God this morning, a few verses of Scripture. We are working on Christmas, getting there. They keep announcing Christmas play. It's going to be next Sunday night. They've got me fired up and wanting to see it. I've heard a little bit this and a little bit that, but boy, they're tight-lipped. You know what? They're really tight-lipped, you know. I've even tried to sneak in there. I went in pretense the other day, going to work on the heater, but you know, I didn't know what I was doing with the heater anyway, so got dismissed. But they evidently got something special coming on, you know, something really nice and something really good coming on. And let's be praying for it. Let's pray that God just give them liberty. I mean, just liberty. I know what that is when God sets you free and gives you liberty to do something. So. As we continue through this week, let's be praying for this upcoming Christmas play. Don't overlook next Sunday morning. Now, we're going to be here next Sunday morning, too. But then Sunday night, we're going to go down for the Christmas play and looking for a good time. Invite somebody. Invite somebody. You know, bring somebody with you. That'd be a good thing. So just call them up, tell them, say, I'll pick you up. You know, I'll come by and get you if that's what it takes. And we can look around. It wouldn't hurt to call a few of our members and remind them, say, oh, by the way, you know, we got a Christmas play, and try to get them here. Let's look to the Word of God, a precious opportunity God gives us, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, that He gives us to open and read and understand His Word. I want to talk some about the understanding of the Word of God. You know, we find that it says this is written in the Spirit and must be received in the Spirit. And the Spirit is what really makes the difference whether we comprehend and whether we receive it and whether we're obedient to what we've read. So let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower just a little bit. You know, Jesus gave them this parable and spoke to them and talked about sowing the seed and how it failed and how this happened and how that happened. And then it goes a little farther over, and the disciples wanted an understanding. Now, I think about this a lot, and you think about it also, that these disciples said unto him, why speaketh unto them in parables? And he gave them an explanation, and then he starts giving the explanation of the parable to his disciples that wanted to have understanding. I believe there's a great need today that we want to understand, not just hear this, but understand it. You know, it was asked the question one time, asked the eunuch, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And so we not only need to be hearers of this word and readers of this word, but we need to be understanding through the Spirit of God what God is dealing and teaching us each and every time we open this word, or we hear it taught, or we hear it preached, or we just hear it discussed, wherever it might be. The understanding. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, Jesus starts speaking to them. He said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, this whole group was hearing this same word, but there was a certain ones of them that wasn't understanding, they weren't seeing, they weren't hearing, they were hearing the voice, they were hearing the words of Jesus, but it had no effect on them. In verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, you know, when I read this, it sounds like the time and day that we're in this time. You know, you look around us. The Word of God is going out. It's broadcast on radio. It's spoke on television. It's preached from the pulpits. It's taught in the classroom. And the Word of God is going out. But I believe a lot of it's going out to a lot of people that said their heart is waxed gross, that they're not hearing, they're not seeing, they're not comprehending. So we need not only to pray for freedom, of course, to preach and teach the Word of God, but we need to pray that the Spirit of God give understanding to this Word through His power, through His Spirit, that we give, let them have the knowledge and understanding. So when we start looking around and considering the people around us, where is our nation today? It's dull of hearing. It's not seeing. It's not understanding the Word of God. Word of God's going out. I believe the Word of God's still going out, but people are not understanding. They're not hearing, because it's as it was prophesied by Isaiah. It said they're going to hear, but they're not going to understand. They're going to not see, because they've got their eyes closed. And so when we start praying as a church, I thought about the importance of us praying that God not only give them the Word, but give them understanding through the Spirit. Written in the Spirit, received in the Spirit. That's the way it comes. So here's this group of folks over here. It said that Their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And given a description of these people, that the word of God's going out, but they're not receiving it. But then when we read in verse 16, it said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And I thought what a blessing it is to be in the body of Christ, saved by God's grace, that we have an opportunity that we hear and we see and we understand. And I thought how blessed we are to come into a house of God that we can teach, we can preach, we can sing about His greatness, and people get the message. You know, there's sometimes you talk to somebody and you try to explain to them. I had a young man one time, I was going to train to do some a specific job. You know, and I talked to him and talked to him, and he sat there and he listened. I thought he was listening, but he didn't hear a word. He didn't hear nothing. Because when I got through talking, he started trying to tell me how to do it. Y'all ever been there? You know so much. He knew so much about everything that he couldn't receive instructions in knowledge and understanding of how to do it right. Well, that's the world we're in today. You know, people know so much. They think they're so educated and so smart that they're not receiving this word. And I thought about the blessings that we have because God has chosen us as His children to not only hear, but to understand. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And so he goes on with the blessing. In verse 18 it said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And Jesus is going to give understanding to this parable that he spoke. And he's going to give it to the disciples. He's going to give it to the believers, the ones that are following him. And they're going to have an understanding. And I thought how blessed we are about having this privilege of God that we not only hear, but we also understand. We need to pray for understanding in our community, in our nation, in our families. In verse 19 it said, and anyone... one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. And so we start talking about this wayside and this seed sowed. Now notice, the seed sowed in every situation. It's not a lack of the seed. It's about where the seed is distributed, where the seed lands, and what's done with it after it's sowed. So our job is to keep sowing and keep spreading the seed, which is the Word of God. And it will have an effect. In verse 20, but he... Jake, I think I'm too loud. Am I too loud for y'all? A little bit. And I ain't near excited yet. Amen. If I started taking a screaming fit, I'd definitely down. Oh, that sounded a little better, right? I mean, when it starts hurting my ears, I know it's too loud. In verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and ain't with joy, receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, for he dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so, you know, we're seeing a realistic thing that goes on each and every day in our Christian lives, that we look around us and see people that come in and they receive the word, but it don't seem to last. I'm telling you, I like that salvation of God that's got the good glue. I'm talking about it sticks. I mean, it ain't just here for a while. It's here for a duration and a lifetime. And so when we start looking at this and Jesus giving him the understanding, I want us to have this understanding today. In verse 22, he also that receiveth the seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the care of this word and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And so another illustration. But notice, the seed is there. The seed is sowed, it's spread, it's distributed. I believe we have the Word of God all around us and with us each and every day. But without that spirit, without that understanding, it's not having the effect that it needs to have in our country. In verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into good ground It's he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I read this scripture last night and got excited. I'm telling you, we're fixing to reap, New Salem Baptist Church. I believe we're getting a seed sowed. And I believe it's going, a lot of it, or part of it at least, on good ground. And when I got thinking about this 100-fold and 60-fold and some 30-fold, and I got to thinking about the effort we made to increase the paycheck of our missionaries for a Christmas gift, when I got thinking about what we'd gather together and spend on these children that which are in need in our community and all over this county, I got thinking about if God replaces that 100-fold, we're going to have a lot of money coming into New Salem Baptist Church. And you're going to think, well, why is he preaching money? Because God can bless you in that. He blessed us in the collection, and now he's talking about 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. Praise the Lord. Get ready to reap. Am I plain in God's word? Is that what it says? Get ready to reap. I'm going to tell you, because of your generosity, because your willingness to give, your sowing of the seed, you're just likely to have the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. Get ready for it. Christmas don't all come wrapped. It comes in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways God uses to bless us. I'm preaching to you this morning. I believe you've outdone yourself. You've done more than you've ever had. Expect to receive more than you've ever had. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. I expect to have a good Christmas this year. And you do too. And regardless of what you did as an individual, that's side of the point. I'm telling you, being part of the body of this church, part of the body of Christ, is beneficial. You'll reap the rewards same as everybody else. Now back up in verse 22, when you read about halfway through it, or I'll just read it all again. Verse 22, I'm going back just a minute. He said, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, I want to think about unfruitful just for a few minutes. In other words, I see the fruitfulness, and I want us all to be in that mindset and be ready to help when it's made possible to us. Let's go back to Psalm 137. Turn back with me, if you will. And I want to talk just about a few minutes about being in the right place. Now, I mentioned that being part of the body of Christ, the church at New Salem Baptist Church, it brings you a privilege to receive what God has for all of us. I don't believe he's going to go through and limit anybody. I don't think he's going to get on an individual basis and say, well, this one gets this one gets this. I believe it's going to be an overall blessing for the church because we're in the body of Christ, the church at New Salem Baptist Church. And so there's a blessing in this. There's a reward coming from God. I believe we're going to reap. You're going to get part of it. I'm expecting the best Christmas I've ever had. And not only for me, but for you also. We need to be in the right place. I want to talk about being in the right place. You know, I heard a story one time, and heard a preacher telling it, and I got really kind of caught up in it listening to him. He got talking about rewards in heaven. You know, he started talking about rewards in heaven, and he got in big way of this. He said, you know, he was going into heaven, this old gentleman going into heaven, he'd passed away, going into heaven, and had an angel showed him all through heaven and showed him this, showed him that, showed him all these things, you know. And they kept walking by this great big warehouse. You know, just a great old big warehouse, huge, up in heaven, you know. Kept walking by the warehouse and walking by the warehouse. The angel never mentioned it. You know, he'd just walk right on by it and show him something else. And finally, the old gentleman said, well, I want to know about this warehouse in heaven. Why is there a warehouse in heaven? And he said, that's to hold all the blessings that was to be given to people that weren't there to accept them. He said, it's full of blessings that God had for somebody, but they weren't present. They weren't there where God wanted them to be, so they didn't get their blessing. He said, and that's where they're stored. And I thought about being in the right place at the right time. Right place at the right time. Y'all ever think about that? That God's got a blessing for you. You need to be there to receive it. Well, in Psalm 137 and verse 1, we're going to find the children of God had been carried away captive. You know, that happened to them quite often. Y'all know the story in that. You can read it all through the Old Testament. You know, they go along, they worship, they praise God. They get a little bit lax in it. God blesses them. They get plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and a place to sleep. And all of a sudden, they've turned away from God. You know, that happens time after time. And God would allow them to be carried away into captivity, placed into bondage. So we need to heed that warning. I mean, we as a nation need to look at that. But in Psalm 137, in verse 1, it said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So situation was, they've been carried away captive, they've been overrun, and they've been taken down to Babylon, out of their home country, out of the place where God had put them and placed them to be. And so when they sat down, it said they sat down, and there we wept, because they were in the wrong place. Notice it. They weren't in their home place. They weren't in the situation that God had placed them in before. He had allowed them to be carried away by the captive. And I thought about this captivity. You know, I've got a lot of Christian friends that are in captivity today by sin. Christian friends. A lot of them I'd prayed with when they were saved. I didn't save them, God did, but I heard their prayer. I heard the request for salvation, and we know that that salvation is good eternal. That salvation didn't go away, but yet I know a lot of them that out of church, out of God's will, doing things contrary to what the Word of God says, and I'm telling you, they are captive by the devil and sin of this world. They're out of their place. They're out of a situation where if God had a blessing for them, they couldn't receive it because they're not there. And so when we talk about God allowing these to be carried away captive by the enemy, it said they sat down and wept right there by the river. They were crying because they were disturbed. They knew what it was to be in the right place where God had placed them. They knew what it was to be in their homeland. And they also knew what it was to be carried away by this enemy and sitting down in a strange land. And it talks about in verse 2, it said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst of thereof. In other words, the music stopped. It's hard to have music without joy. I'm going to go with that. I started to say I heard a band singing the other day, a rock band on TV, and I don't believe there's any joy in that, but I don't believe it's music either. You know, it'd be hard to decipher that. Is that music or is that just screaming? You know, this one guy's beating his head against the wall and the other one's screaming and jumping around. And so when they hanged their harps upon the willows, they had lost their joy. They had lost their desire to sing praise to an almighty God because they were carried off into a place. They were down in a strange country. I want to tell you, be careful during this Christmas season. Don't get carried off into a strange country. And I'm going to be very plain about this. I know a lot of you work public work, public jobs, and I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, a lot of them's idea of a Christmas party is to get drunk and pass the bottle. Don't get into that. Is that plain enough? Lord, I may have been the only one ever had to go through this. I used to have to struggle with it every year. First thing people would want to do, you know, they didn't know who I was. First thing they'd do, they want to give me this filter, this bottle or that bottle. You know, their idea of a Christmas gift. Well, let me tell you, you can't give me one then and you still can't give me one. I wish I took some of them, broke them. But don't get carried away into a strange land or a strange country out of where you're supposed to be. Because we're supposed to be faithful in the work of God. And be careful of these Christmas parties. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of different descriptions on what's a Christmas party. I'm going to tell you, if Christ ain't in it, it ain't a Christmas party. Plain enough? Understand? These folks, verse 3, it said, "For they that had carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." And so the captives, the ones that had brought them down captive, required of them to sing. They said, "We want you to act just like you always did. We want you to sing the songs of Zion. We want you to be filled up in the Spirit of God." And so they were requiring, they said, "We know who you are. We know you're God's children, but we've got you down here in our land now, but we want you to continue singing the song." Well, they had already hung their harps in the willows. Their song was gone. Their music had disappeared because they were in a place with no joy. In verse 4 it said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And so it matters where you're at. It mattered that day and it matters this day. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about where you're at right here. Verse 5, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." In other words, wanted to restore unto them the joy of the Lord. Over in Psalm 139 in verse 1, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." A very plain statement. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down city and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." And so we get the understanding about being in the right place, that if we're out of place, if we're out of sort, if we're out of spirit, God knows it. He said He knows when you sit down and when you rise up. He knows when you lay down to sleep at night. He knows your weight. He knows your thoughts that are going to come later. You haven't even thought it yet, and God knows it. And so with that understanding, we need to have ourselves in the right place. I talked about those blessings God had up there in that warehouse. Let's add to the warehouse. When God blesses us, let's be in a position that we accept it, we take it, and we just rejoice and give God praise for it. Knowing where we're supposed to be. Verse 4, "For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Now, this is a God that knows us, that understands us. He knows all about us, knows what we think, knows what we speak, knows what we're going to speak. So when we get into that situation, I think we can prepare ourselves. I'm going to tell you what. I believe because of our generosity and our gift that we gave to those in need, I believe you're in store for probably the greatest blessing in Christmas you've ever had. Whether it's wrapped up or under a tree, I don't know. But expect something great from God. Rejoice. Rejoice and expect it. And it's because we've qualified ourselves, because we showed God's love. We qualified ourselves because we knew of God's grace. That's what it's about. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Let's have a verse for song. "I've come expecting, just going to get better." Y'all stand your feet. We're going to have a verse for song.